Good evening, everybody.
Hello.
Hello, and welcome to our regular, well, not so regular, I guess, but a little bit more regular Thursday stream. We're
Yes.
back.
We're
We're
back.
back.
Hello.
Hello.
The weather's shite for anyone who's interested.
Yes.
It was really nice. We had a nice guest come and see us the other week. It
We
was a
did do.
cracking weekend. And for that, we have now paid the price. You know what they say? It rains, or it doesn't rain for a week, and then in a day, you get a week's worth of rain.
Basically, yes. It never rains, but it pours. Well, it rains and it pours here, it seems, and then it rains and it pours some more, and then it rains.
Fucking pushing it down.
Pushing it down. It's been
Pushing it down.
pushing it down. And then again, it has been basically everywhere.
Yes.
For those of you who've been wondering why I've been streaming a bit more infrequently, just we only stream when we have something to talk about.
Yeah.
So we're not professional streamers, but we are supported by you guys.
Yes.
Yes.
So if you want to at least help us and somewhat incentivize us in making more of this stuff, you can donate to the Ko-fi link that you've just
Yes.
linked in the chat there, or you
Yes.
can do the super chats or the super
We are
stickers,
still monetized fully on YouTube, which is a strange one, but
or
there
like
you
many other
go.
people, you can choose to subscribe to the Substack and support us over there, where you get this as a podcast with no adverts as an alternative to a YouTube membership, or in
Yes.
general, you can just interact with the stream because then more people will see it anyway.
Yes,
You
we've
could.
also got the anti-politics Substack here, which a big piece
Yes.
was recently released on.
Yes. Anyone that remembers my appearance on Dutton at some point at the end of last year, I had a topic I wanted to discuss that maybe got slightly sidelined for other questions that he thought was more relevant. Fair enough, his show. But I thought I might turn those notes into some kind of semi-long form piece. So that is there, the death in the modern world as we're referring to
Oh yes. God. It's I'll try and make sure that we have more stuff on the Substack going forward. It's just that I've been doing a lot of research and I've also been very, very busy
Yes.
too. The busyness is a big thing. It's just there's a lot of stuff in the pipeline. I don't want to half-ass anything, and a lot of stuff demands my full attention. And sometimes for weeks on end, I won't have the mental energy to give something my full attention for hours on end because I'm an adult.
Well, there's also just a lot of things going on,
Yes.
and we are just generally relatively busy people. I mean, don't get us wrong, we like having this as something to do on the side, but it's something we also have to balance with, oh, excuse me, other commitments, as it were.
Yes, we do. Apart from that, though, I don't think we have anything else really to share. What I just say is please do give us feedback. Comment on stuff. Not just for algorithmic reasons, but I like having good, like honest and also detailed feedback. We do actually care about what our audience thinks in many ways.
Yes.
We do. I know we talk about it. Oh, the mass doesn't matter. But you aren't the mass. You're
Yes.
part of a selected elite. You've been selected to fight the globalists. No. It is something nice, and a lot of you guys seem to grasp material very well, so I do enjoy hearing about it. But anyway,
Yes.
people might be slightly confused as to the topic, so shall we kind of, I don't know, I'll go through a quick spiel and then we've got another spiel. There's a
Oh.
couple of spiels to go through.
I mean, maybe we can start with the fact that, we are not people who necessarily recycle ideas, but
No.
I think we are known for people who chop and change ideas with certain folk in a way that creates a bit of a discourse or a discussion before other people get to it.
Yes.
And one of the things that we've always enjoyed from AA is his look at politics and wider sort of culture as essentially wrestling
I think is,
and narrative telling.
I've always thought that. I always thought that the kayfabe, the wrestling analogy was perfect. I always really enjoyed that because talking about it as kayfabe, as pro wrestling, as a pro wrestling storyline, is an acknowledgement that it isn't real. That it isn't
Yes.
real, which is the most important part. The most important part is that you do not believe that any of this is real, in quotes. So I'll get the Merriam-Webster definition of kayfabe up
Oh,
because
yes,
it's too perfect.
maybe we should suggest that what we are describing here, this starting with something that is a fake premise
Yes.
and then developing a convincing narrative around it, is called kayfabe.
Yes. The tacit kayfabe is defined as the tacit agreement between professional wrestlers and their fans to pretend that overtly staged wrestling events, stories, characters, etc., are genuine. And as we go into the politics of the modern world, you know, further and further, nothing could be more apt. For those of you who, you know, don't know what
I was actually going to say, can you scroll down for a sec? I like the second paragraph here. For at least just 50 years, kayfabe has referred to the unspoken contract between wrestlers and spectators, who present you something clearly fake under the insistence that it's real and you will experience genuine emotion. Neither party acknowledges the bargain, or else the magic is ruined.
It's an election! Do not believe that politics as reported to you is anything more than a plotline, a story, a work. Within this story, as there is in pro wrestling, there are heroes and pantomime villains. There are people you are supposed to cheer and people you are supposed to love to hate, with characters sometimes having a classic heel turn or a redemption arc to become a face. Within online politics, these characters often exist in obscurity or are groomed behind the scenes until they are thrust into the roster, often endorsed by being hated by the right people.
Yes. I mean, a large part of what we're going to be talking about here is the sort of heels and faces aspect. But I think just in general, the way that it's so overly narrative-driven, it's dramatised, it's theatre, it's actually reaching the point of being more of a performance than anything else. We had Rishi Sunak yesterday, standing amidst the rain in his cheap fucking piss wet through suit, talking about how they were going to have a snap general election. It's like some sort of wrestler who's got to defend his belt is sitting there in crutches with all the bandages around and going, I'm going to have this one, brother. No, you're not, friend.
It's very clear that the political weather, as it were, is giving us a hint of the kayfabe.
Mm.
We keep saying it's in the script. Everyone expected Rishi Sunak to be gone before this moment.
But we thought we otherwise.
We told you it's in the script. Sunak has made it to his election. Biden will make it to his election. You know, even if they have to Ruth Bader Ginsburg level Febreze him for the entire time, he will make it to his election.
Well, it's the same reason why we have always considered Starmer essentially a shoe-in from probably at least about a year and a half back from this point.
Yes.
Is it is clear and all the media that he's painted as the sensible one. He's got his act together.
I mean,
maybe people won't agree with him, but Vince was on the phone. And it was arranged.
The thing is, Vince has been on the phone a couple of times throughout this, and you'll see us flashing that Vince is on the phone.
Yeah.
Because when Vince is on the phone, it means that things have to be spiced up a bit.
But I just,
the drama has to go up a notch.
I love when you can. It is such a good sort of example of how this whole thing functions, and you can make a crayon drawing of it for people. I mean, I explained the whole protest thing that happened in American universities a couple of weeks ago is the Jews painting themselves as the Chad and then painting, you know, anti-Zionism as like a sort of soy jack that's all brown and got the Troon hair or something.
Yes, tone on the phone. Tone on the phone's another
one. Tone on the phone.
And you'll notice in the thumbnail there, we did make Tone the ref. Tony's just standing there.
Well, Tone's decision is final.
Tone's decision is final. But before we explain all this to you, I think there's a frame of mind to be put into. I think there's a lot of examples here that have existed in the past from different eras that will help you grasp this idea of, you know, the manufacture of heels and faces.
Well, you couldn't have a convincing narrative about something without characters.
No.
If they were all the same sort of paper cutout templates that they were maybe 40 or 50 years ago, you couldn't convince people, could you? I mean, Angela Rayner. Everyone hates Angela Rayner, but she makes a very convincing politician, doesn't she?
Yes, she does.
This is the way we need to think about it. Politicians are not skilled, you know, orators anymore. They are not technicians, at least for the most part. What they are is wrestlers.
Yes, they are. It is idiocracy. That was Rishi Sunak's best attempt at a wrestling promo.
Yeah.
And he very obviously, he's not just a heel, he's a pathetic heel.
Yes.
He's a toady heel. He's somebody who is basically attached to almost the periphery of the Tory like wrestling unit, and as it were. You know, they're not exactly Mankind.
But what, you know, obviously there's the angry heel that you go boo at. But the other side of that, of course, is you see the pathetic heel. You don't see boo. You mock him. You mock him vociferously.
Yeah,
you
laugh him.
You as the audience get to take part in the face's sort of glory and victory of standing over this pathetic heel and going, look at you, you weakling. They're professional victims.
Yes, yes. Well, they kind of are. But the thing is, the professional victim is... He's a harassed face to one side, and he's a pathetic heel to the other side.
Yeah, is it one man's pathetic Andy Ngo is another man's martyr?
Yes,
yes,
and he's a really good example. There's not any like written examples here I've got about him, but Andy Ngo is a great example because he made you believe that a few hired homeless people and a bus of activists who tours the country
and a couple of like DHS officers,
yeah, was a massive like movement in the US that had like terror cells.
Yes.
By the way, guys, Antifa was never real, and if you think it's real, please leave, because you're an idiot. Sorry, it was never real.
But let's go back a bit further in the past.
Let's go back. Way back. Back into time.
Well, not quite that far back yet. Let's get there. Getting harassed or cancelled is a career nowadays. It's a jobber. It is a role. It is part of the narrative setting.
Yeah.
There's a sense of people jumping out from behind the bushes in order to get hit by the predestined car that is the news media. It's ready and waiting, and it always is. Minor online personalities attempt to get coverage this way and have done so for over a decade nearly at this point. We saw this paradigm acutely during events like Gamergate and for conservative figures like the McCloskeys or something like that during the Trump election cycle. From 2014 through to 2016.
We had to suffer through Baked Alaska.
Oh, being pepper sprayed.
Yeah, being some kind of minor political celebrity.
But we think like the one of the archetypal people who's both a face for one side and a heel for the other is like Anita Sarkeesian.
Yes.
She was Gamergate's ultimate enemy. She was the one that you literally go out of your way to pour and scorn on.
Yes.
But in that same sense, as soon as you did that, you felt emboldened in what you were doing. Meanwhile, people on the other side who saw her as a face character and a martyr went, look at all this obvious harassment she's getting. Then she really must be genuine.
Well, 2 years, kind of 2 years after this paradigm really, well, 3 years, I'd say, after this paradigm really forms, you end up with this mainstreaming into politics. The original kind of moments post-Trump election of the free speech battles, like, manifested into reality, but in just the stupidest way.
Yeah.
And people look back on it now, I think, like people look back on the Kekistan stuff, in that people don't really remember why they felt this was important.
That was... The Battle of Berkeley was gayer than any pro wrestling.
Yes, it was. And it's this idea that you can have these two, you know, it's Proud Boys versus Antifa, guys. We're taking part in the political conversation.
It is funny to see in a way, like, you know, people scream Weimar America about all this stuff. And it's like, well, yes, if Weimar was like a camp, you know, Broadway.
You wish this was Weimar.
Yeah, it was camp Broadway Weimar where everybody's an actor.
Yeah, it's like, you know, in a musical, like a 60s, it's like West Side Story. It's like the Proud Boys are walking towards you and clicking.
Yeah.
It's so fucking stupid.
Oh, that's so perfect. You got that on the money there. I'm now trying to think of like all the different like sort of snippets of different songs you could have. So they have all these anti-fascist sort of like swing tunes and stuff like that. It writes itself, this shit.
Shit does write itself.
But who became our face and this great battle.
Somebody mentioned him, Bass Stickman.
Yes.
Did nobody notice what was on Bass Stickman's forehead? How did this get past everybody? How is this? I, to be fair, we were just looking for example, because Bass Stickman is the perfect example of somebody who you thought was important who really wasn't.
Yes. I mean, the other example I think from this, and we'll come back to him as well, is obviously Milo Yiannopoulos.
Because
his event got cancelled by the home of free speech and the original protest movement. this shows the left are the true fuddy-duddy regressive ones, blah, blah, blah.
But again, this is Newsweek. This is mainstream coverage. These are the people who were sold to
you. He was on Fox and Tucker Carlson and everything. He was the next celebrity.
And these people don't matter. They are here to occupy space, to create noise, and to waste your time.
Yes.
And they will be manufactured ad infinitum.
But it's that same sort of false dichotomy as well that you're always given with these events. You've got to have an opinion on the Battle of Berkeley. Are you for the edgy Antifa people in the masks that look cool?
Alt-right activist known online as Base Stick Man gets probation for assaulting protesters with leaded stick. This was the political conversation in 2017.
Yes. But no, but I'm saying the choice that you're given is also, do you want to be part of like the smelly Antifa people who wear the black block gear, or do you want to be on the side of the gay Greek conservative who gets blacked?
Yeah.
Pick a side. Shit sandwich, a giant dish.
Well, we went through how the regime runs both sides with the infinite containment stream. Mm. We know that experts and faces are manufactured on both sides, but a lot of people do not understand. A lot of people are like, who was Base Stick Man? What?
I know, they're going to really show the greenhorns.
Yes, this is what a former political paradigm feels like. This is what somebody talking about God, who would it... This is what someone talking about, like, Pearl Davis will feel like in 5 years.
Yes.
This is what someone...
Mizzy.
Yeah, this is what someone thought about Mizzy will feel like in, like, 3 years. Oh, goddamn. This is what talking about like Constantine kissing in like 5 years will feel like as well, I reckon. I don't reckon he'll be around that long.
I'm surprised that they've at least been clever enough not to like sort of heroize and also vilify like one of these like Jewish sort of frat boy protesters at the stuff from like month or so ago.
If you guys want our kind of older stuff on this, because I will gloat for a second and say we've been really far ahead of the curve on some of this stuff. We did a stream, this is 2 years ago now, fucking hell. When was that? April 2022, called Victim Narratives of the Very Online Right, in which we talk about Milo Yiannopoulos, we talk about Laura Loomer, we talk about Gavin McGuinness, we talk about some of the Censored.tv stuff, and we talk about the fact that there has been this class of professionally cancelled people. And the extra step we're adding here is saying that, yes, you can manufacture a right-wing celebrity purely from the left.
From quote-unquote bad publicity.
Yes, from bad publicity. Oh, well, he's being attacked by all the right people. And then all the, you know, the controlled opposition people on the right, in quotes, come out and bolster that person. That is how so many of these different experts and these different faces and these different content creators and these different talking heads and posters and online personalities have been manufactured in the past. Many people, in fact, most people online who have a profile of any kind know that getting cancelled, in quotes, of a certain kind will bolster your career massively. And Censored.tv traded on that. They traded on the fact that being cancelled was a marketable thing.
And we can tell that this strategy is successful because time and again, we've had to talk about these figures who get cancelled, who get attacked, who are oppressed by the state or the left or the big banks or something. And lo and behold, they seem to then have a position of greater influence, and then they use that greater influence to steer us away from farther right ideas, but back towards the centre, back towards normality.
It's really back towards what is regime consensus. And you find that these people, and we talked about it during containment, the base, the ball pit, they will have what are heterodox opinions in certain areas, but they will lead you in circles. You will be stuck in the based ball pit. You'll be given an extra hour in the based ball pit. You will talk about stopping the steal. You might talk a little bit about the vaccine still. You'll talk about, like, oh, Kanye got cancelled, and you'll impotently notice certain things. But you will never be led into an area where you can undertake substantive, organized minority building.
Yes.
Organization building. It's not even like the Fed posty stuff they won't let you do. They'll let you do all of that stuff. They'll let you say whatever you want.
It's why they're really not a big fan of people who go around and map out their networks.
No.
Because when you map out their networks well enough, it becomes very obvious that, you know, one quote-unquote far-right figure who is called out by a centre-right figure for being, you know, too far or a race realist or something like that, when they come from maybe the same tribe or the same sort of religious group or the same patronage network, you realise it's just I scratch your back, you scratch mine.
Oh, thank you there, Proper Horror Show, for the £14. Just get in, love to catch you live. Since you're talking about kayfabe, why do you think the wrestling dropped kayfabe in the mid-90s? It was a specific incident or a general deconstructionist trend? I don't think they actually fully dropped it. If anything, I think the fans demanded they bring it back in certain ways, because there was a lot of silliness in the 90s. There was a lot of winking at the camera, but I think it was more that they thought it was more fun to do things like that than it was to maintain kind of the more straight face of it. And then again, we had things like Ultimate Warrior before that. And the thing is, I grew up with like late 90s, early 2000s, what many people would consider like the golden age of TV wrestling, like the golden age of Raw, the golden age of like pay-per-views, really, for wrestling. And that was, what do they call it? It's the weird, it's like the weddings era almost. It's a silly era. It's the, you know, the drama era, the soap opera era. It's all that stuff. And I honestly, when it gets turned up to 11, and that's the same with politics, I think that things should be like more silly in some ways, or at least they should be more surreal. I think if they're going to make entertainment, they should make engaging and surprising entertainment, because that's all it is. It is still merely entertainment. Thank you, Poopy Doopy there. Something guitar, a soothing guitar ballad, Waiting Room. Yes, yes. very funny.
We can move on here, because it becomes very obvious once you can see the world in this way that people are Team Red or they're Team Blue.
Yes.
Brianna Wu and Milo Yiannopoulos are two examples of individuals who have spent a decade being both heels and faces for different groups and causes.
It's 2024, and over the past couple of years, both of these people have ended up being... Well, Milo was headline news, and Brianna Wu's been, like, I guess, political news again. The thing is, once these people get put in, once these people end up being, you know, thrust into the online sphere and they are useful to people, and they show themselves to be very good stooges who can move in certain ways and do certain things. And frankly, most of them are extremely stupid, which makes them extremely steerable.
Yes.
And you will find deliberately idiotic people like Brianna fucking Wu continually churned back into relevance, defibrillated, like that picture of Hitler with the Constitution.
Yeah. But this is why we sometimes joke that someone popping up in a modified political guise is then being team balanced onto the red or the blue team. You know, Brianna Wu all of a sudden is now a campaigner for Zionist lobby groups.
Yes.
For the Democrats on Twitter. She's not a hardcore leftist like culture warrior anymore. Team balanced onto the red or the blue team. They are lent legitimacy by being bolstered in the mainstream right press and argued against in the mainstream left press. This is in the case of those who are leaving the left, as it were.
Oh, God, yes.
Like a Dave Rubin, God forbid. They are talked about often as far more influential than they are by their apparent positions, which is, of course, part of the game. How do I convince you that someone is influential? Do I let them influence you, or do I spend all day going to you, this person's really influential, by the way? It's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
I'm sorry, but I must also... warning. I do have a team balancing thing here somewhere, but God knows where it is. It's just the TF2 teams have been balanced thing. I've still got this one. Oh God, they're all gone. No, I changed my folder around, so a bunch of stuff's missing. But the team balancing thing I enjoy, because it seems that Brianna Wu has been balanced into both being a post Bernie bro and also a radical centrist. I don't understand this one. But Milo Yiannopoulos is a figure that fascinates me, because he's very much one of these stupid people who was deliberately put in the public eye, who definitely has handlers, who definitely have people who pay his coke bills, who definitely have people who supply him with certain things, and he definitely listens to those people. And he was somebody, again, manufactured out of the stupid hated tea of the Gamergate era, but he was someone who kept on going and became this culture war figure, to the point that he ended up pulling a bunch of stuff down as he fell.
Yes.
And the reason that we're so negative and we, you know, apart from the fact that Milonopoulos is a coked-out AIDS bag, he's also a coked-out AIDS bag who stole food out of people's mouths.
And wears Christianity like a skin suit.
Yes, and he's somebody who will say anything and do anything to get a buck, because he is the consummate grifter. And that is what most of these faces and heels turn out to be, and that's why they're so easily manipulatable, and that's why you've heard of them. That's where they're pushed, that's why you see them, because they have no chance of threatening the power structure. And when they wanted him to go away, when they wanted him to rest and be on the bench,
they called him a paedophile.
Yeah, they called him a paedophile, and then he didn't talk about him for ages. This happened, and he disappeared from the public eye. When they don't want you to think about someone, they will disappear from the public eye entirely.
No WWE Hall of Fame place for you, brother.
And then he ends up, again, apparently he only resigned last week as Yeezy's chief of staff, amid Yee porn plans. But this whole narrative that became one of the biggest...
Kanye himself is one of the most perfect examples of this. Comes out as he's sceptical of Jewish power, and he's a Christian, Christ is king, and this and that, and black people should live in their own, and we should self-segregate. And then there's the whole, dare I say, you know, the InfoWars fucking debacle, and the blowback from all that. I mean, if you couldn't have seen
that, the is a pro wrestling scripted event.
Yes, if you couldn't have seen that, all the marketing about all the things he was doing up until that point, and the celebration of him as a black billionaire, wasn't going to lead to some horrendous, not just character assassination, but character suicide in front of the eyes of millions of people live, and you don't understand how this thing works.
With the help of Milonopoulos and, of course, Nick Fuentes, they brought Kanye in as a special guest for a special episode of Kayfabe.
Yes.
As like a TV special.
SummerSlam.
The ratings went through the roof. People loved it.
Yep.
But that was very obviously a manufactured political event, almost as a lead-in to the current political paradigm we find ourselves in. How better to push the heels and faces forward than create this moment where you have two of the perfect right-wing heels, Milonopoulos and the catboy enthusiast himself, Nick Fuentes, basically tard wrangle this schizophrenic musician who has been primed by these bizarre people whispering in his ear, apparently for months on end before this point. It is one of the strangest political moments that we suffered through, and it is a great example of how the right can be, in quotes, the right can be jarred like this to obey a narrative in which a lot of people were worried that they would miss the boat if they decided not to engage with the paradigm that was the Yee saga. It is one of, I think it is the best, like, politics is pro wrestling moment as a work example, because that wasn't organic.
Yeah, so I'm just, Coney, current year there, has given us £2. Why have I got an Uwu badge? I'm not a Troon. Not yet.
Not yet. Diagnosed. Next question. thank you for the extra £6, proper horror show. I also do not care for those two.
Oh, Adam and the Slippery Jew.
You mean the two guys, anyway.
But yes,
it's just all the way down.
Fundamentally, people still do not grasp the Streisand effect.
Yes.
No publicity is bad publicity. We are not advancing a vast conspiracy. Many of these jobbers are desperately just trying to get on the radar in a self-initiated way because of the vast incentives involved in being a culture warrior. I mean, you sort of can't blame them to some extent. We can only
A career maker. Being cancelled, in quotes, is a career maker. And the people who make right-wing careers are the quote-unquote left-wing press. It is pushed almost entirely from oppositional coverage that then creates bolstering appearances on these controlled networks of all these people that we've talked about before.
Yes. It is these incentives and the culture war industry that creates this desire to be swept up in the face-making machine, or to play the heel for a particular audience when the money is there. But people are very obviously injected into this discourse, not just by the media sphere, but also at times by the security services for very particular ends. Think of the likes of Matt Goodwin, Rakib Eshan, Konstantin Vadovimich Kissin, and Tommy Robinson.
Yes.
All of these people demonstrably have security service paymasters, and all of them are pushed to us as both heels to the left and faces for the right.
Yes, Tommy Robinson's a great example because he's been extremely egregious in the things that he's done.
Mm.
To a lesser extent, so is like Calvin Robinson, like Mr. Conservative
but
friend.
Calvin Robinson has no charisma. He cannot get hundreds of young lads arrested. But Tommy Robinson can.
Yes.
That's why they spent years, irrespective of whether or not he's in on it, but that's why they spent years in and out of jail, in and out of court, taking his money off him, threatening him with the police. Because it makes you, the viewer, convinced that he's some man to be oppressed, that he's going to do something or has some sort of plan and the government has to stop him. But that's not the case. Because he's in their pocket, whether he knows it or not.
I would actually say, so the chat's decided to, this image is just the best I could find to illustrate what was being pushed as the intellectual dark web.
Mm.
I know people can't see a picture of Carl without going into conniptions, but I will actually somewhat defend him here and say that what happened to him during the UKIP stuff, even though it was stupid, was him actually being given a biting and not a gumming.
Yes.
If you look at the difference between how someone like Sargon was treated in the press and someone like Jordan Peterson was treated in the press, it is very different.
Well, we have an example of that right in front of us.
Yes.
As you say, Sargon was treated not as an academic or as an alternative thinker. He was treated as a lowbrow, racist, rapist thug.
Yes.
And Nigel Farage's own words.
Yes.
Carl represented the criminal wing of UKIP. Now, we'll see what we want about the man, but as you said, that is an assault they put upon people that they don't want you to hear about. Not like the thing we've got before us, written by director of conservative think tank Bright Blue, Matthew Dacona,
well,
or have you pronounced his name?
Did we read that bit here?
We can try and...
The regime does understand this Streisand effect, by the way. This is why you saw so much of this. This is why you saw so much of the publicity of someone like Jordan Peterson from what would ostensibly be the leftist press.
Hmm.
And there's a lot of going back and forth, and there was a lot of replies.
Streisand has fucking forehead!
I know, right? But what became known as the intellectual dark web is a great example that this noise is used to sell these people to you. And how did people, throughout like 2017, through into 2020 until the lockdowns, how did they retain this unworkable level of liberal thought in a supposedly alternative political sphere? Well, a big answer was what became pushed as the intellectual dark web.
Yes.
You ended up with figures like Jordan Peterson being pushed as the intellectual faces of the right. And people thought that they were being cancelled and they were being hidden from them as they were undertaking these massive media tours, as they were being both attacked and defended in the press simultaneously.
Yeah. Jordan Peterson is fighting for his legitimacy as an academic under a Title IX court case in Canada, but at the same time, he's becoming an internet celebrity on Joe Rogan.
Yes, and he's also being interviewed by, like, Kathy Griffin.
Or Kathy Newman.
Yeah, whatever her name is.
But you can see as well that...
Yeah, Kathy Newman, sorry.
Guardian article written by someone who's centre-right, soft touch. It's not that Jordan Peterson is some sort of renegade with dangerous ideas, it's just that he causes offence.
Yeah. Free speech and citizen engagement. Matthew the Anaconda, by the way, is the chairman of the Cameronite, basically leftist Tory think tank Bright Blue.
Which he's is also Onward Blue now or something as well.
Yes. He's a formerly of The Spectator, and he's somebody who's written for The Guardian as a token conservative. He's a classic centre-right, sensible tastemaker.
Yes.
He is the classic person to play the conciliatory role as somebody is sold to you as a next big thing in free speech discourse.
Let's just like scroll to the bottom. Like, what's his conclusion on Jordan Peterson? To be a citizen is to engage, and the Newman-Peterson interview is a model of that engagement. Ooh. Unless you believe that history has a self-evident direction, excuse me, it fucking does, and it really doesn't, you must accept that almost all progress is achieved by the hard grind of negotiation, tough debate, and busy pluralism. The aphasia of no platform and the bedlam of the digital mob add nothing to the mix. To quote the great African-American scholar Henry Louis Gates, let them talk. What utter fucking shit.
The AI love the endless conversation.
Do you remember the time Kathy Griffin's running around?
It's Kathy Newman, I've got you.
Fuck,
sorry.
You got me.
I was thinking about Kathy Griffin earlier, and I can't, when I see Kathy, I can't see them with Kathy Griffin.
But Kathy Newman, do you remember running around on Channel 4 the week after going, I got so much hate mail, it was all misogynist. And then the week later, they flipped the narrative again by analysing the stuff she got sent on social media, and they turned around, well, no, you weren't actually abused. And it's that constant, one week it's a heel, next week it's the face. What are you, never fucking ends.
Both Brett and Eric Weinstein were both pushed in this manner too. They were pushed, again, it's activist protest. It is one side of the regime creating a figure for another side of the regime that will also be a heel for the activists. You have, again... What do these people have in common now? We'll get to that later.
Items bounced.
Items status bounced. But Brett and Eric Weinstein are perfect examples from the supposed intellectual dark web of these manufactured faces who were thrust upon the supposed intellectual right. These people have no business here. They have no business being in what is supposed to be a alternate movement to modernity.
Yes. We are people fundamentally against the influencing of our nations by foreign groups. Brett and Eric Weinstein are a perfect encapsulation of a foreign fifth academic column that lives in American civilization that wants it to remain a certain way because they stay powerful within it.
Yes.
So it's no wonder that when given the opportunity... And I believe they're probably clever enough to have thought of this at the time, having watched the whole Battle at Berkeley thing happen earlier on that year and subsequent years. Oh, well, there's now this solidarity protest at our university and there's about 20 communist students running around making a noise. How about I go and embolden them by shouting at them all and cause a scene? Okay, it says here it cost him $500,000 to do so, but now he's got a career as a media person. What does he care?
Well, that's what it is. A lot of these people get picked up. It doesn't matter whether the inciting event was manufactured or not. What matters is how these people are picked up, vetted, and then pushed as safe experts.
A Jordan Peterson speaking event or Sam Harris speaking event gets cancelled, and they spend $30,000 or $40,000 renting out the venue that they don't get back. What does it matter then? Because he goes on to Joe Rogan the week later and gets to hawk his book to 10 million people.
Well, we've talked about this one before. But the marketing of the intellectual dark web as this board of directors of alternate politics on the internet was one of the most embarrassing, but also one of the most effective operations in online taste making, because these people had a very long tail. I was going to talk about Sam Harris here, because when we originally created our, you know, virtues of gatekeeping and streams and things like that, not liking James Lindsay and Sam Harris was actually somewhat controversial. Mm. A lot of people, like, you can't say, you know, James Lindsay and Sam Harris are our enemy.
And
well,
boy,
look at them now.
Boy, were we right on that one.
Is there really anybody who would defend James Lindsay as anti-regime these days, or anyone who defends Sam Harris as anti, not right-wing,
Sam,
but anti-regime?
Sam, I'm pretty sure the January 6th protesters should be shot Harris.
Yes. Sam, I don't care if there's actually kids buried in Biden's basement Harris, yes.
Yeah.
It's also tiresome, and yet this is the shit you fell. I'm sorry, but a lot of you fell for this.
Do you know what? Let's all put our hands up. At one point or another, we all got bit by this.
Yes.
And what we must do is not double down.
No.
Is not go with the flow.
No.
Is to be ultimately a contrarian. And every time you see someone, you see another intellectual dark web spring out of the internet at you, be suspicious.
Somebody goes, oh, this person, they've been cancelled. And you go, aye.
Have they now?
Have they? Did ye?
Did ye? Aye.
Did ye?
Well, no, it's the ultimate one, right? someone turns around to you and says, that guy's going to be the next Hitler, I'm not going to celebrate. I'm going to be like, yeah, sure.
Sure. You promised me that last week.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, here's another example of it. And this is one we actually know relatively well because we watched some other TERF people get bitten by this.
Yes.
If you put an event on Eventbrite and there's explicit political language in your Eventbrite description, it will get cancelled. It doesn't matter whether it's left, whether it's right. We don't get cancelled by Eventbrite. James Lindsay does, because he's a fucking idiot.
Well, also a lot of people look to get cancelled. They look to get their events delisted, or they look to get something thrown off something, and a lot of the time they will deliberately violate the terms of service.
I'm just loving Harry's comment there. Joke's on you, I wasn't even paying attention to politics while all this shit went on. We crawled so that you could walk good, sir.
Yes. that's not a forehead, it's a biped. Oh no. Yeah, YouTube will do that to you. Also, nice to see you, Aid. Nice to see you, Harry. Nice to see all the people in the chat. Nice to see our returning members as well. I'll quickly hawk the memberships. I see you there, Anthony Keane, Coney Current Year, and there's a few people I've seen as well.
Yes.
Thank you. A lot of you have been supporting us for a very long time. English Upstart as well. So thank you very, very much for that. I'll make sure I read all of the fan funding here. Member for 9 months, Camelot Crusader, thoughts on UK election fever.
There's going to be an election?
There's going to be an election.
Isn't there now?
I'm afraid the rest of them have caught it, but we're on earth. We can't catch election fever because
Actually, I think in a couple of weeks' time we should put forward, as a streamer, proposal for what to do when it comes to this period.
I think we should tackle the election.
But anyway, let's keep going on. Another one bolstered by leftist general shite. As we've mentioned him a couple of times now, Konstantin Vadovimovich fucking Kissin.
Yes.
Who, I just, every time I think about him now, I get more angry about him.
Well,
I
mean, here's him being talked about in the New Yorker. It's like, it's liberal Jews versus neocon Jews, and you have to pick a side.
Yeah.
Have to pick one group of Jews, guys.
I just love it.
You know, we don't mind doing that.
No.
Because we love the nation of Israel. And we love both groups of Jews. So.
And we just, our biggest worry is we wonder why Jews just can't get along with, you know.
Why can't the Jews get along anymore?
Yeah. Jew got to get along with each other.
Yeah, yeah.
Earlier this month, Hamas militants butchered 1,400 Israeli Jews. It's been taken down to 700, that. Mm. Thereby proving conservatives are right about everything. Or so argues Constant Kissin in a much-touted essay for the Free Press. I might just leave that there, because I think that's just hilarious on its own.
The day the delusions die. I think we went through that one already. But this, again, heels and faces are manufactured by the endless conversation.
Yeah.
And the characters you are allowed to see in the endless conversation are tightly curated.
Because I bet you Eric Levitz is some awful dysgenic bug man that's like 5'4" and looks like he doesn't wash.
Just like Konstantin Kissin.
Hey, I'm not saying the similarities between the two.
But again,
cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, man.
If you see them replying to somebody like they are genuine and revealing them as these figures on the right and, you know, almost feverishly kind of jerking them off as these right-wing figures, they're being manufactured the face for one side and heel for the other side.
One part that's even more interesting here, though, excuse for a second, at least Peterson, Weinstein, Harris, these people are recognised writers and academics.
Yes.
Mr. Levitz here is treating Kissin as if he's an academic.
Yes.
He's never been an academic. No. He's just a podcast wanker.
He's a podcaster and they pretend he's a journalist occasionally.
Yes.
But he basically was nobody, yes.
But you see, I mean, it's because they treat him as a serious villain that people are only willing to consider him a serious ally.
Yes.
Because he was never going to be seen as one without the framing of him being a serious villain to the people you're not meant to like.
Well, again, a lot of people are like, oh, well, how do you do this without perpetuating the process? Just think, well, we believe these people basically are nothing.
Mm.
They serve a function, and describing their function is much more interesting than who they actually are, what they actually say, and what they actually do. Mm. They all come from these controlled backgrounds, and mapping out containment, I think, is is very useful, but really you must understand that these people are completely replaceable. There is no point us arguing with Constantine Kessen. There is even really not much point in us ruining his reputation because someone will come after him. What we're trying to do is inoculate you against this, is to make you think next time somebody is marketed as the next big thing in the right, and this is me, oh, we have to stand by this person, they're being cancelled as we speak.
Mm.
Take a breath, take a second, look into that person's background and think, why is this person being sold to me as a face, or even like a leftist? Oh, did you see what Rauch said today?
Oh,
you
God.
people like a lot of you people out there are Hassan Piker and Vouches and all these awful nobodies who say nothing of consequence.
Yes,
you are their biggest fans, because they are your favourite heel.
Mr. Dave the Distributist, stop talking to leftists online.
Stop,
please.
Stop bolstering the heel arc.
Yes, please. Anyway, let's keep churning through this.
Let us keep churning through all of this, because we have to talk about... Sorry, I've got another slide here. We have to talk about the manufacturing of consensus.
Well, yes.
How is the current consensus, which is... Well, we'll come out and say it, the Zionist consensus on the right, how was this consensus manufactured? Specifically here in the UK, part of it was that people like you can't call me Juden Peterstein. You can't call, how dare you, anonymous villain, how dare you? You faceless vagabond, you nothing. The other part of this is that we have found, via things like the Daily Skeptic and the Free Speech Union, the birthing pods of many of the faces and then left heels here in the UK in a minor sense. There's a lot of jobbers, B-teamers, and all kinds of grubby little nothings coming out of this little nest here.
If you switch to the screen capture, yes. There's one right in front of you. Lenahan, who spent...
Teams have been balanced.
Yes, exactly. He spent years going after
Again,
Dank.
Game again.
Yeah, years after going after Dank and all these other people, painted himself as the stereotypical leftist, blah, blah, blah. Many years later, he's done for wrong think because he's got the wrong opinions about trannies, and now he's a hero. And now, the Daily Skeptic, part of Toby Young's network of folk, is going to the point of writing almost these bizarre propaganda pieces that you, the humble reader, you are just like Graham Linehan as well. You want to see the dangerous opinions about gender ideology, and they aren't letting you. And that's all that matters.
It's what we've talked about in a lot of our previous work, is that people who have a single heterodox opinion that becomes popular, as it were, like the trans stuff, like the TERFs being pushed here.
This bit I find hilarious.
Oh my goodness, yes. 22% have been compelled to say things they don't believe. This rises to 31% among BAME. They're playing the race game. The brown people are more based than you are, guys.
41% have left a job because of employers' promotion of woke ideology. This rises to 43 among BAME employees and 46 among LGBT employees.
This, by the way, none of this is true. I have never... ever heard of somebody in the real world, in real life, that I have met organically, say that they have had to leave a job because it was too woke.
Yep.
This is London bubble thinking, and this is online brain. This stuff, apart from shit you click through on your first day that nobody reads, like the manual handling stuff, it's all bundled in there with all the health and safety shite, and then nobody ever thinks about most of this stuff ever again.
But if the Free Speech Union isn't here to help us, us, the enlightened universal man, who is the Free Speech Union for?
Who is the Free Speech Union for?
Oh, I know. It's for a certain tribe of people.
The Nathan Kofner stuff has been shared very widely, but we're here to tell you guys that maybe people should have looked into it a little bit closer, because Nathan Kofner is a Jewish carve-out in the human biodiversity movement.
Yep.
He is being pushed as the safe face of safe racism, as it were, in quotes. And he really doesn't believe many of the things that he's pushed as believing.
Yes.
In fact, he believes the exact opposite of most of them.
Well, the thing here as well is that this is what some people touted as the free speech union showing their full teeth and coming out and defending someone who adopts semi-ethno-nationalist positions. Except from all those other people who adopt ethno-nationalist positions, they were never defended by them.
No.
I mean, this is the same free speech union and the same Toby Young that signed the October Declaration and helped set up the British Friends of Israel.
Yes.
I mean, is it no wonder then that one of the only forms of absolutist arguments about race that they are willing to defend as free speech is about Jews?
Yes. It's what we talked about, again, 2 years ago during a stream called The Quantum Small Hat Paradox. Well, I didn't know how meaningful this would become.
We might as well go for Mr. Kofnas's critic article, because he basically lays out the case for us in there.
Well, for those of you who don't know, the October Declaration is what all of the regime centre-right people signed as basically a giant oath. Like a
New Culture Forum, yes. Everyone at Policy Exchange, all the Henry Jackson Society people, Douglas Murray, Goodwin, Ricky, any centre-right figure in Britain, their name will be on that October Declaration.
Yes. Jewish allyship is a difficult and delicate task. I'm just going to read that, and that is the flavour of what goes in the critic, I'm afraid. No disparage to some of the people around for them. They have good people and bad people, but good Lord, I know it's this one.
Yes.
Here is something written by Nathan Kofnas called Twilight of the Liberal Jew.
Yes.
Jewish Americans... shifting right. Huh.
I would recommend people go and read this, but I'm going to say we should just go to like the end just to get a quick sort of bit from the... you can't beat the conclusion paragraphs, because it's normally where they just lay out the most
interesting
shit.
Do you want to read these
two? Yes. Right, here we go. It's true that there are several Jews occupying high positions in the Biden administration. A Jewish civil rights organization, the ADL, is also having a moment in the spotlight. This is the last gasp of liberal Jewish influence. Jewish cabinet ministers, or members, are boomers who are cashing in on status they built up decades ago. When they retire, most of them will not be replaced by Jews. The ADL has become the boogeyman of the far right, and largely for this reason, the liberal establishment rallied to its defence. There is no long-term future for the ADL as a leader of woke America. Because woke America isn't going to last long, and they know it.
It's been cycled out, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we'll cut to the chase here. This is him putting out a memo. My fellow Jews, we must become conservative for our own positions in power and society, and therefore we can't move with woke.
The social justice left wants to hear about microaggressions, police shootings and slavery, not Jews and the Holocaust. They certainly don't want... that centre, they certainly don't want to hear anything from a straight white man like ADL CEO Jonathan Greenblatt. When you understand that the woke is being put away, you see the carve-out. Whenever it's distinctive about Jews won't survive 2 to 3 generations of intermarriage. But they're also a ethnocentrist people. But he denies this.
Yes.
As we'll get on to. Although there will be millions of Gentiles in America with distant Jewish ancestry, as there are in Spain and Germany, the mark of the liberal Jew will fade from American culture. With fewer and fewer liberals in the public eye, Jews will increasingly be stereotyped as religious and right-wing.
Scroll up briefly for a second. Yeah. I'm not sure where I can quite find this. Maybe it's in the next one. Yes. With their numbers falling sharply, the few Jews who are left face stiff competition from other minority groups.
Yes.
Eric Kaufman, another containment figure, refers to this phenomenon as trading places. Jews at universities and other institutions are losing out to high-performing Asians as well as blacks.
Who are more, favoured under the new leftist ideology. Again, it's the quantum small hat paradox. It is them placing themselves firmly back on top of the progressive stack. It is the carve-out and is the re-conservatizing, at least coding-wise, of Jewish America.
Yes, and for expert-level noticers,
yes,
you will be aware of where Kofnas has come from.
Yes.
Here is a little abstract from his paper, Against One Kevin MacDonald, written in 2021.
There's a huge amount of... To be fair, this doesn't say... I'm not going to get it up because Kevin McDonald's a bit radioactive, but his response to Koffness is very telling because this is really a stitch-up job. It's an attempt by Nathan Koffness to academically discredit the work of, you know, Kevin McDonald. Those of you who know who Kevin McDonald is know about Culture of Critique. Again, we have to be quite careful what we say here.
Yes, anyway. According to the mainstream narrative about race, all groups have the same innate dispositions and potential, and all disparities, at least those favouring whites, are due to past or present racism. and all disparities, at least those favouring whites.
Yes. Some people who reject this narrative gravitate towards an alternative anti-Jewish narrative, which sees recent history in terms of Jewish-Gentile conflict. The most sophisticated promoter of the anti-Jewish narrative is the evolutionary psychologist Kevin McDonald. Let me reread this. Some people who reject this narrative gravitate towards an alternative anti-Jewish narrative, which sees recent history in terms of a Jewish-Gentile conflict. It's very clear that Mr. Koffness knows that the blank slate racial ideology is going away, as does Mr. Chris Rufo.
Yeah.
What this is some of the priming work for white civil rights.
Yeah. Koffness gave short shrift to at least three key claims. Jews are highly ethnocentric. Liberal Jews hypocritically advocate liberal multiculturalism for Gentiles, but racial purity and separatism for Jews/Israel. And Jews are responsible for liberalism and mass immigration to the United States. These are three undeniable facts that he will then write a paper arguing
with. Well, they're also facts that we've talked about before, that the diaspora...
Jews themselves celebrate.
...are extremely proud of the fact that they are able to, one, have a Jewish state explicitly for the Jewish people. Two, they are able to create the conditions to look after people from the third world. And there are massive amounts of this in Australia. And also that they are people who believe in liberal values, liberalism, and that they are part of a multicultural elite, really, that administers society in a way that benefits them as a class. And that is the main contention, of Kevin McDonald, why he's so controversial, is he explains the outgrowth of in-group preference within a racial group who has gained many positions of power. It is as simple as that, and as uncontroversial as that, really.
But it's okay, though, because he's our new hero, because the left thinks he's a heel, and that's why we end up in these fucking situations like we described in the civil rights feminism stream,
Nathan,
and in the anti-woke and post-woke world stream.
Yes.
Our frame becomes dominated by feminism. Our frame becomes dominated by Zionism, the question of Israel, because all the people who have been decided as the ones who deal with the discourse are pre-picked, because that's all they're ever going to talk about.
Nathan Koffness isn't a sign that the Free Speech Union is moving rightward. Nathan Koffness is a sign that the Free Speech Union is trying to cut off at the knees someone like Kevin McDonald because he actually has something properly heterodox to say.
I have to admit, though, I do think this is in some part Koffness putting his hand up and saying, fellow Jews, being woke isn't working for us anymore.
Yes. Largely yes.
Isn't that what Rufo's doing? Isn't that what him and all the people around him are
doing? Isn't that what Toby Young is doing when he went to Israel, you know? We'll go through that again.
Live from Tel Aviv.
But we did two streams. We did two streams. One, where you said, called Civil Rights Feminism, the New Face of the Right. Another called Anti-Woke in a Post-Woke World. We're not going to relitigate all of that. We're not going to relitigate examples where we showed you dozens of tepid feminists being pushed as the new heroes of the British right. That happened ad infinitum with, like, the smashing together of the turfosphere with the right. And we've been solid on this. If you hate Troons more than the regime, then you are a turf and you should go put on your fucking pussy hat. And all of this has been borne out. All of this has been borne out recently with the debates of, well, where are the lines drawn? Who are the elite? What's going on? Who is in power? And if you're not somebody whose primary interest is, like we are, containment, power politics, and the granular operation of the machine, then you can be led by the nose by all of these groups. And what we found out is that anti-woke in a post-woke world is just Zionism. Oh. And civil rights feminism in a post-woke world is just feminism.
I mean, there has been a whole drama in the last week or so about the ethnicity of certain tastemakers within the dissident right being revealed before their audiences. The fact that these people decided to hide the fact that they were Jewish from their own audiences because, of course, there would be an element of scepticism, and rightfully so, because these people are tribal and they work in their own little groups. And yet, when it finally starts to come to light and people start to ask the question of, well, quite frankly, why are all these people running around in the BAP sphere who are part of a network that seems to be of the same tribe and is supported by what we can only describe as larger Jewish interest groups like big lobby groups, then Nick Fuentes comes out of the blue with a overblown version of that theory and bad jackets it for anyone who's going to question it.
Yes.
So, wow, what are the odds?
The thing is that the Yee operation, Miley Yiannopoulos, Nick Fuentes, all the people who pushed Kanye, who was deliberately an unpalatable figure to everybody, that was not going to work. It was meant to make being anti-Semitic look like you were a schizophrenic.
Yes.
And as Nick Fuentes comes out and runs around with the empty neutering, it makes it look low status. It makes it look like spiteful mutant behaviour to talk about these very vital issues.
I would say we've almost had the same thing in the UK as well.
Yes.
People like us were really, I think, starting to put a bit of pressure on Toby Youngs, the Matt Goodwins, the people who had, for one reason or another, slipped Zionism into the back door of whatever their agenda was.
Yes. The Douglas Murrays, we really nailed him.
And they have had to turn round and double emphasise the power and the position and the ugliness of pro-Palestine protesters purely to fix their own image.
Yes.
Because it was starting to crumble away and get questioned. And I'm seeing the exact same things.
We even had our own, even more overtly Zionist, base stick men come out of the woodwork. Base stick, again, it's just so, I'm going to put him back on screen because this is like a potent to the future.
Mm.
This has reappeared in the same form and we now know why this all looks like that. We're reaching like
seven years later,
this all makes a lot more sense because they were always going to put the campus activists away. And again, it's really a vindication of us insisting that you must understand that woke is being put away because otherwise you can't filter this new paradigm. You can't understand why the heels and faces are being manufactured in equal measure on both sides to both be, you know, the center left and the center right are consensus on Zionism completely.
Yes, well,
that is the heterodox issue right now. The issue. Yeah. The current thing.
Well, the whole thing at the moment is that people are running around thinking that Jews have overplayed their hand and overexposed their position. I'm sorry, but they have not. Your complete and utter disgust in the masses is waning. You must recognise that these people will walk away and they will be lauded for doing so as heroes and white saviours for decades. Whether or not you, as the viewer, take any part in that, bears no relevance on it, because there's thousands, hundreds of thousands, maybe even millions of people who are idiots and will gobble it up, because by the time we get there, it will be the mainstream frame.
Yes. I mean, the post-woke paradigm is based around Zionism and anti-Semitism on both sides of the debate, unquotes. How to recognise this in a different sense, I would say, is that you have to know what you're looking at when you see kind of people being cancelled, as it were. What you'll see a lot of, and, you know, we like Marcus, we like Count Dankula, and he's somebody who's went through the ringer, I think, organically in this.
Mm.
What you'll see is when someone like Millennial Woes or Count Dankula was attacked, they were never put on primetime TV in the UK for a long debate.
No.
There weren't any gushing Newsweek pieces about them, and there certainly hasn't been any gushing Newsweek pieces about someone like Nima Parvini as the mysterious leader of the distant right.
When our good friend Millennial Woes I will admit, long before we knew him, was doxed.
Yeah.
His real name and his address was put in newspapers.
Yes.
His personal details were put out in a way that gave the opportunity to those who would do harm to him.
Yes.
When this writer guy last week gets doxed, have I seen his home address anywhere? No.
Well,
no,
it's just when Jordan Peterson, it's what I would call a gumming.
Mm.
Many people like Jordan, again, Jordan Peterson is such a perfect example because he was manufactured so heavily by the attacks from the left.
Mm.
But the attacks from the left are them interviewing him and gushing over him and talking about him as this cool person with all this influence.
Yeah.
And when they really want to go after something, they do it in a nasty way. They do it in a tabloid way. They do it in a low way. And they ignore the intellectual aspects of what they're saying. They don't kind of stratify them and ratify them as a codified talking head. And a lot of the time, as what happened with Marcus with his BBC show, is they are nixed quietly. They are not allowed to go above a certain level unless they play a certain amount of ball.
Yes. And as we've talked about, most of these figures, these faces and these heels, both online and off, have got huge boosts to their profile and massive support from other figures that has been directly manufactured in this manner.
Again, they're trying to manufacture a Count Dankula type effect.
Mm. It becomes self-reinforcing, as figures who appear this way via network support also help ring in the new heels and faces. The question should really be, why am I seeing this person everywhere all of a sudden? Because we can prove beyond doubt many taste-making nodes in the alternative politics sphere are bought and paid for by bad actors and are bad actors themselves.
If you want proof of that, go through basically all of our past. It's riddled with it. Yeah.
Assuming these newly minted political faces are genuine as a default is an insane strategy.
You should always, always, every time somebody is pushed to you by your enemies, question why. You should always question somebody who's pushed by Tory MPs, by the likes of Douglas Murray, by the taste-making networks that exist in the UK that have brought us such great hits as Constantine Kissin. You should go, where is this person from? You'll see people appear on GB News. It used to be Talk TV, although Talk TV and LBC are kind of, they're going away.
Yeah.
But you'll see them come on GB News. You'll see them appear on people's podcasts all within a week. And you must understand that these people, more often than not, are being deliberately given the push.
Yes, and all of this proves...
In a pro-wrestling way.
All this proves one universal truth about politics, which is one Lenin understood very well.
Yes.
You must choose your own leaders from with your own communities. And if also, choose your own enemies.
Yes.
Obviously, we don't have that luxury, so we'll stick to the former for the time being.
Yeah.
Or, they will be thrust upon you from without. The Guardian wants you to follow a Zionist like the Pied Piper. All they need to do is show that the wrong people hate him. And he'll magically be on GB News and talking to Jordan Peterson within 24 hours. An instant paid-up member of the alternative politics sphere.
Pre-packaged and delivered directly to your eyeballs.
Yep.
And that, really, is how the machine manufactures heels and faces that play double duty for both factions. I actually find the process quite efficient because they basically all play double duty, and everyone's able to feed from the content trough. Everyone's able to write think pieces about them. These people never really suffer consequences apart from when they have to occasionally be put away if they get a little bit out of control. And it's, to me, looking at all these examples and looking at the professional victim stuff, we understand this process works on the left. We understand that the likes of Brianna Wu and Zoe Quinn back in 2014 and 2015 threw themselves in front of the internet bus and created careers out of it. And yet people can't seem to imagine that there'd be situations where someone on the right, in quotes,
would do the exact same thing,
would throw themselves. Because remember when the police came here and people thought you were trying to do that? People accused you of doing that. You didn't make a massive deal out of it. We didn't make money out of it. It didn't end up with the papers. It didn't really go anywhere.
Toby Young never came to me, did he?
No, Toby Young never came to us for saying that, you know, the whole joke was LGBT under the Biden administration stands for Let's Go Bomb Towelheads. It's a joke about the rainbow bombs.
Yes.
It's actually an anti-war joke. It's about... you could actually make a leftist argument. It's about rainbow jacketing. We don't talk about that stuff because we hate that shit. But that was the joke there, that these people were justifying, the bombing of the towelheads.
It's something I mentioned, and I think it might be the last thing I'll throw in here because we've gone over an hour, so we shall cease all waffle. There are probably hundreds, if not thousands, of people every year that are given visits by the police to have their thinking checked for something they have said on social media. And these people don't become celebrities.
No.
Because they're not useful.
No.
As soon as someone is useful and they're in that position,
yes,
then they become a celebrity. Then they become a freedom fighter. It's like a Maoist hero.
The press has the power to filter these people. Mm. You don't remember the people they never picked up because you were never allowed to hear about them.
Also, big up Luke Littler. He's just pumped Michael Smith 10-5. Hey.
Thank you, Lamented Guide, for the super sticker for $4.99. Thank you, Coney Current Year, for the £2. Saying I fell for the Milo Griffin in 2016-2017. I actually met the man at one point.
James D. Fuentes is organic and vegan, surely. You can have your fiver back, mate.
We all saw him manufacture Kanye. No.
Yeah. Proper Oro Show, thank you for the tenor. Great stream. There are lessons to be learned. Let's not take the bait next time. Have a Theakston's on me.
Thank you.
Oh, shall do this weekend.
Lewis Shaw Moffat for £2. An ooga booga to you too.
Yes. And lastly, D's bit of rough for a fiver. I don't want to say it, but it really is just always them. Presume enemy until proven friend, especially if they don't have a cap. Ooh, woo. Smoke me a kipper.
I'll be back for Yom Kippur. Anyway, have a good one, guys.
Sorry, can we just go back to the comments? Is Crowder a heel? Crowder is a bottom.
Excellent.
And with that, we shall leave you.
Have yourself a good evening, and we'll see you later.
Go to the pub.
Go to the pub.